last night with a really strong game. And I think there's a very good chance that when Hiller's back in net, as we assume he will be tomorrow against the Hurricanes, that he'll answer Rommel once again. These guys are playing off one another. They're one-upping one another. And while Rommel's got some of the highlight reel saves, Hiller's got some of these games where his save percentage is being jacked up. Do you hear the number that Peter Labardius threw out there a little earlier? 83 of 85 is what Hiller's performance has been the last two games he's played. 83 saves on 85 shots in games against the Blackhawks and the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, right now these goaltenders are playing well, and it's a tight competition, it's a healthy competition, and it's a competition that is raising both games. And I don't see a whole lot of separation happening in the very near future. I don't see one guy burying the other in the near future. And for the next little while, I think Rommel and Hiller as an alternating tandem is probably the way to go. That'll wrap things up on Hockey Central at noon this afternoon. Want to thank Peter Labardius, the color voice of the Flames, and John Forsland, the television play-by-play voice of the Carolina Hurricanes. My name is Pat Steinberg. The big show starts in about 5 minutes. We got some baseball, football, plenty of hockey to get to around the corner. That'll do it for Hockey Central at noon here on Calgary's Hockey Station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home for Boomer and Warner in the morning and Flames hockey at night. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary. Calgary's team.
Verify ready to go for one.
Canada's team. Ignition. Sportsnet 960 The Fan brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius.
The Flames and Carolina Hurricanes go from the Dome on Thursday night. Pat Steinberg has your warm-up from the Dome at 6, play-by-play at 7. A full post-game goes right after the game right here.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by Marlboro Ford and Mr. Fireplace.
Hey, Calgary. Looking to pick up some great seats for a must-see game or concert? Then get to StubHub, where you'll find the seats you want, even at the last minute, and even if the event is sold out. Can't make it to the game? No problem. At StubHub, it's easy to sell your tickets to another fan. From hockey and football games to concerts, never miss out again. So head to StubHub, see what's happening in Calgary this week, and find the seats you want today. StubHub, the way ticket buying should be.
StubHub!
And this is our new den.
And this is?
Marianne, my travel agent. I got 5,000 air miles with my new Reed built home.
At Reed Built Homes, you simply get more. More luxury, more attention, more quality control, and more travel. Earn 5,000 air miles reward miles with your new Reed Built Home. Details online.
Just one more reason I should have built with Reed Built.
Reed Built Homes. Redefining affordable luxury. Visit RedBuiltHomes.com.
Winter in Calgary can be tough on your truck. Whether you're loading it up with skis or making it work in the cold, be ready for whatever winter throws your way with Line-X Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Line-X forms a tough, thick coating that bonds to your truck bed, guarding against scrapes, sealing out moisture, and it's guaranteed for the life of your truck. If it's not Line-X, it's not tough enough for your truck. Line-X, with two locations in Calgary. See line-x.ca.
The Air Miles Reward Program has landed at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
What's on sale this week?
Listen to Betty.
Save $6 on Sky Vodka. This week, just $20.99. Plus, earn 8 Air Miles with purchase. Save $13 on a 24-pack of Budweiser or Bud Light, just $35.99. Save $3.50 on Jackson Triggs, Proprietor Selection, Selected Varieties, just $6.99. And every day, save 10% when you buy 6 or more wines. See in store for details.
Only at Sobeys Liquor Stores.
Ryan Pinder talks snow on Tuesdays at 9:25 a.m. in Sportsnet 960's Snow Show. The mountains are so close to us, but before you head west, check in with Ryan as he'll have the details on the best trails, powder, equipment, vacation spots, deals, tips, and more. If you ski or snowboard, we've got it for you. It's all brought to you by Lou's Performance Center, unmatched technical ski expertise. Visit lous.ca. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Calgary's team. game.
Verify, ready to go for launch.
Canada's game. Ignition. Sportsnet 960, the Fan, brings you every game all season with our play-by-play team of Derek Wills and Peter Loubardius.
The Flames and Carolina Hurricanes go from the Dome on Thursday night. Pat Steinberg has your warm-up from the Dome at 6, play-by-play at 7. A full post-game goes right after the game right here.
On air every time the Flames hit the ice. This is Calgary Flames Radio, Sportsnet 960, the Fan. Getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
High fly ball, center field and deep. Kane will turn and he will watch it go. Hunter Pence with a two-run homer to deep right center field. And the Giants have an early 3-0 lead.
And the 0-2, and there's a swing and a fly ball towards right center field. And it's going to drop for a base hit and get by Aoki all the way to the wall. This is going to bring Blanco in. Being held at third is panic. As the Giants add to their lead, it's now 6-0.
And that is what I was afraid of in Game 1 of the World Series. Welcome to the Big Show on a Wednesday afternoon from the Scotiabank Saddledome. My name is Pat Steinberg. We are underway this afternoon. The Giants didn't leave any room for doubt in Game 1 of the World Series. None. As they take a 7-1 victory and take a 1-0 series lead. And this playoff-hardened Giants team looked like they had been there before. Because they have been here before. Their third World Series appearance in 5 years, and they looked like there were no nerves, there were no comfort issues, nothing. They were just there playing another game, and that's what makes the Giants so scary. That's what gave me the gut feeling that, you know, the Royals might be in tough, really, for the first time throughout this postseason. I get it, it's only one game, but that is what I was afraid of in Game 1 of this series, and the Giants kind of did exactly that. So now what? I don't have any question marks about what San Francisco is. They're a playoff-hardened team, and they're in the driver's seat right now. No questions regarding the Giants. My biggest question now is, how do the Royals respond to their first loss of the playoffs? And I know they've had some adversity in games, they've trailed in games, they've been in extra inning games, all of that type of stuff. But for the first time, they find themselves with some real series adversity, down 1-0 to a very good Giants team. So how did they respond? How did they, you know, get past this? What happens tonight in Game 2 of the World Series? And what type of effort do they have? Even if they don't necessarily win this game, can they respond with an effort that is a whole lot more indicative of them being a World Series team? Because you lose 7-1 in a World Series game, it's not necessarily the type of a performance you want to put out there. That to me is the biggest question at this point. Here's Ned Yost, Royals manager, last night talking about just that, how they respond, because he certainly didn't expect a sweep in this series.
We knew that this series was going to be a battle, too. I mean, we didn't expect to, you know, come in here and sweep the San Francisco Giants. We knew that this was a series that was going to go deep. We know how tough they are. You know, they swing the bats really well.
Now, that's true. I don't think anybody expected the Royals to sweep this series. But now, if you're KC, it's all about a response. And if you can respond effectively, then I think we still have a series here. I think that we can still be talking about something that is a little bit longer than some are thinking. I know there's a lot of gut feelings who think it might be a sweep the other way. I don't see it that way. I still think the Royals have it in them to pick up a couple of victories here, but 7-1 is not the way they wanted to start things off. Tonight, a game you'll hear live on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. It is Game 2 of the World Series. Jake Peavy on the mound for the Giants, and Yordano Ventura goes for the Kansas City Royals. First pitch after 6 o'clock. Sportsnet West, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. We are all over the 2014 World Series. As the Big Show continues, my name is Pat Steinberg from the Scotiabank Saddledome, and again, We do everything today on this station, knowing full well what's going on in Ottawa, what's going on in our nation's capital. Pretty tough day for the country, pretty tragic day for the country, and thoughts and prayers to all involved. And when you lose one of our, and I use this word, you know, sometimes as sparingly as I can when we talk about sports. Today you don't use it sparingly. You put on the uniform, you represent and protect this country in the most brave and courageous way there possibly can be, then you're a true hero. And when you lose a soldier in any way, and specifically in a, on a day like today, it's tough, it's tragic. And so our thoughts are there, our thoughts are elsewhere, but we continue doing the program here, kind of providing you a little way to get away from the real world if you want to do that. Calgary Stampeders finished practicing today, and some interesting news coming out of Calgary Stampeders practice today as we welcome in Scott Mitchell, our Calgary Sun Stampeders insider, on the program today. Mitch, as always, appreciate that. It's been far too long since I've spoken to you. Your dulcet tones have been very much missed on this program. How are you, pal?
I'm not too bad. I think the timing is actually pretty good. You know, I don't really want to talk that much, but well said, though, in the intro there. You know, today is one of those days where, you know, sports is a little bit of an afterthought.
It is. It is. And we'll try and kind of provide that little distraction today. Before we get into some of the nitty-gritty of what's going on with the Stampeders right now, I think it's important to talk about what they've done this season. They've clinched number one overall in the CFL with 3 weeks still remaining in the season. I guess for a guy who covers this team day in, day out, and sees so many other teams across the league, how impressive a feat are we talking about the Stampeders accomplishing with still 3 weeks to go?
It's very impressive, and you know, I don't think you can kind of just you know, say it's this season. It's the last couple of years. It's the last 3 years. You know, this team has been, you know, has proven to be, you know, consistently the top team in the league in the regular season anyway. And you know, it's kind of continued into this year, and they've played well. They've played well in almost every facet. They've done what they set out to do. When you come into camp in late May or early June, the goal is to win the West Division. And they've done that with 3 weeks to spare. So I'm not sure what, you know, you could look at the season and call it anything but, you know, a giant success up to this point. With that being said, you know, this is the time of season that's, you know, kind of, they've run into troubles the past couple of years, and I don't think there's anything other than a Grey Cup win this year that, you know, would satisfy this organization and their fans and, you know, yep, pretty much everyone in the city. So, you know, they've done a lot up to this point. They've done a lot of good things, but, you know, this is kind of where it starts, and this is, you know, what we'll find out, you know, what this team is really made of.
When you think about this team not having Cornish for 7 games, and it looks like it's going to be an 8th game, we'll get to that in just a second. Bo Levi Mitchell missed a few games. Charleston Hughes and Jeff Fuller's barely played, and on and on and on when it comes to these injuries. That's what makes it even more impressive to me.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, you can't avoid that fact that this team has, you know, not only been hit by injuries the past couple seasons, but, you know, pretty much absolutely completely ravaged by injuries. And it, you know, it hasn't been bit part guys. It hasn't been, you know, the 40th guy on the roster. It's like you said, it's John Cornish, it's Charleston Hughes, it's Bo Levi Mitchell going back to last year, it's Drew Tate, it's Kevin Glenn, it's, you know, it's guy after guy that you know, are difference makers. I'm not sure. I know that the excuse it's never really been an excuse, you know, inside McMahon Stadium, but you know, even the excuse outside, I think people are starting to realize that, you know, this is just something this team's going to have to deal with, and they have dealt with. And you know, you look across the league, and every team's dealt with injuries. You know, how many starting quarterbacks have played all their games this year? Not a whole lot. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's an excuse, but it's not. And this team has clearly persevered through it. So I'm not even sure, you know, they want to talk about it. And at this point, you know, there's not much left to talk about other than, you know, how they're going to deal with this roster throughout the next month and you know, how they're going to get, you know, the optimal roster on the field November 23rd, because that's the only game that matters at this point.
Well, I want to get into that conversation in just a second because it's fascinating to me. But first, give us the latest on the injury updates right now, kind of what we're expecting for Friday against the Riders, who might not be in, who is in, and some new news today involving the reigning most outstanding player.
Yeah, obviously the big one just came down about half an hour ago. John Corrish is going to sit out Friday. John Huffnagel would say that it was that he's sore and it's kind of a maintenance thing, and you know, there's no need to push him. But John came out about 15 minutes ago and talks about the knee that he tweaked in Regina that's still been bothering him. So he said he was pretty sore after the Winnipeg game, and you know, it kind of has been lingering a little bit this week, so he's going to be on the shelf this week. Charleston Hughes is also out. Those are the two main ones that you know are kind of everyone's been talking about. But yeah, obviously a little bit of a surprise that Cornish is going to sit out. But I mean, if you're asking me, I think it's the right decision. You know, this guy is the engine to your football team, and you know, in a week in a game that doesn't mean much against your hated rival, who's always you know, amped up to not only stop him but to physically punish John Cornish. There's no way around that. This team likes to hit John Cornish, and they take every opportunity they get to, you know, put a little extra mustard behind that. So I mean, I have no problem with them sitting him out this week, and you know, we're trying to find out if this is, why not just sit him the next two and say that, but it seems like Cornish would like to play next week, but I think this is going to be a week-to-week thing for the next 3 weeks. It'll be, you know, see how he feels a couple of days leading up and gauge where you're at and then go from there.
In conversation with Scott Mitchell, our Calgary Stampeders insider from the Calgary Sun here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, in terms of managing the roster, in terms of managing players in the final 3 weeks before the bye week, what's your feeling as to how they're going to strike this balance between keeping guys healthy and making sure that they're not going to lose momentum and not going to get rusty? It's not an easy balance to strike, is it?
No, not at all. No, it's not an easy balance to strike, and that's the perfect word to describe it. It's a balance, and you know, I'm not even sure that the coaching staff or John Huffnagel, you know how that balance is going to work at this point. You know, I mean, you'll go into Friday night thinking one thing, and then, you know, if you have an injury somewhere or something happens, you know, that plan could be completely scrapped. So I think they'll try to sit out a few veterans at points, and you know, it looks like Cornish will be one of them this week. There were guys sitting out parts of practice this week, you know, some veteran guys, Juwan Simpson getting a little break here and there, and you got to wonder if he's going to play the full three games, since he's played every game this season, one of the few Stampeders to do so it will be an extremely difficult balance. One thing that's a little bit different from last year is they do have 44 men on the active roster this year. Last year, obviously, in the old CBA, when they walked into Vancouver in week 19 and obviously lost three key guys, they were only dressing 42 at that point. So there is a little bit more roster flexibility. But I think what you'll see is the offense, I think, you need to find rhythms. So much of offensive football is about timing and rhythm. So I would expect to see Bo playing up until Vancouver. Maybe he plays the first half. It's so hard to say right now, but I think it'll be the veteran guys, maybe on the defensive side of the ball, that'll get a rest here and there over the next 3 weeks or so.
How much does what happened in the final game against BC last year play into the thought process this year? How much does the fact they lost some pretty key players in that game weigh on the Stampeders here?
I think it has played in. I don't know if you'll see it show up on the game day roster, but I think you've already seen it show up in how they're using their practice roster right now. There's a couple of veteran guys that you know, at different spots that they've brought in to kind of you know just to have a little bit of insurance, because I think last year the practice roster, you know, historically, I mean, it's used this time of year to bring in young guys, get them up to speed, and see what they can do, and then, you know, shuttle them back into training camp next year. You've seen definitely a few more veteran bodies, Underwood in the secondary, Jordan on the D-line, guys like that have been brought in to kind of give a few extra options, you know, down the stretch here, and if injuries do hit. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I don't think, you know, Huffnagel hasn't talked about it because, you know, he's been focused on, you know, game to game, week to week, but it will be really interesting to see if they do deviate from the strategy and you know, kind of start sitting out a few more guys from last year, because last year they pretty much rolled the roster they had and let the chips fall where they may, and you know they fell on the injured list, and you know the Stamps were shaking their heads after that West final loss, wondering what happened.
It's funny because John Cornish was talking about it following last week's win, where they beat Winnipeg, clinched the West Division, and got themselves officially that bye in the first week of the playoffs. He said, you know, we also need to make sure we do keep our momentum going, because they got beat pretty bad in that game against the BC Lions, and the Stamps kind of felt that they lost a little bit of their groove, a little bit of their the kind of feel they were in. So I'm curious, knowing the injuries, that weighs on their mind, but what about the fact they did lose a little momentum in that game? Does that weigh on their mind too?
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, and this argument or this conversation is not unique in any way. You know, you've gone through it. Remember years ago when, you know, the Indianapolis Colts would be, you know, sitting there at 14-1 or whatever, and everyone would be wondering if teams are going to sit Peyton and things like that. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's this sport is so much about, you know, rhythm and timing and continuity and momentum and, you know, everyone being on the same page. And if you sit out, you know, a week or two or even three weeks, you lose some of that. And without a doubt, you know, there needs to be a balance, like you said, you know, a balance of managing the roster. There needs to be a balance of the roster versus momentum versus, you know, a team that needs to be playing good football, you know, in a final game that will come on November 7th when your next game is until November 23rd. You're absolutely right. You need some semblance of momentum heading into that 2 week break where, you know, you can say, look, we were playing well and this is going to keep rolling. So I think Josh Bell put it well to me yesterday. He said, you know, you need to keep that snowball moving down the hill. So I think that's what they're going to try to do. And, you know, it's not easy. That's for sure.
It's why that balance is still so important. There's no doubt about it. That's the word you have to use when talking about what the Stampeders are going to have to be thinking about in the final three games of the regular season. With our Stampeders insider, Scott Mitchell from the Calgary Sun, he joins us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Chris Bowman back with the Stamps, back on the practice roster. How do you see Bowman fitting in here?
I mean, at this point, he's a depth guy. You know, if he's coming off the ACL. I mean, a lot of people forget that he tore his ACL last fall in a practice here at McMahon Stadium. So this is the first time he's been back essentially since then. So, you know, he's with Brad Sinopoli done for the season with the broken collarbone. He's you know, an added Canadian body that if something happens, he knows the system and he's a veteran guy and he's been around the league. So, you know, this doesn't overwhelm him as far as, you know, possibly bringing in maybe a younger guy with a little bit more upside. But I mean, this is a first overall pick who's, you know, talking to him today. He was a little bit surprised to get the call, but he's grateful. And you know, I think he knows this is maybe his last chance. So, I mean, if, you know, you do need him, I think you're going to get a guy who knows his assignments and you know, won't hurt you. That's for sure.
Let's bring it all back full circle, because we talked about John Cornish kind of to kick off the interview. He's not going to play Friday against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and he's going to miss another day kind of for maintenance reasons and just to make sure that you're getting the optimal out of him when the games really matter the most. Knowing that, knowing he's already missed seven games and knowing that he leads the CFL's rushing race by more than 100 yards right now, is he still going to win this rushing title? Like, even with the fact that he may not be playing the games down the stretch, I could still see him winning the rushing title right now.
Yeah, he could get 30 carries the rest of the year, and I'm still pretty sure he'll be in a pretty good spot. He'll be in the conversation, but you know, I think the rushing title now is, you know, has kind of taken a back seat. I mean, everyone's talking about him as a potential MOP, and you know, we asked him about that today, and he doesn't even think he should really win it. That you know, with the as few as games as he's had, but you know, we asked him kind of who do you think the MOP is at this point, and you know, he rattled off the same names that, you know, the media has been talking about, and then, you know, finished it with the same way the media has been talking about. But has any of them really stood out? So, you know, I think there's an interesting dynamic right now between, you know, the team goals and John Cornish's, you know, personal achievements, which, you know, he may not be striving for the MOP or the rushing title, but you know, he's in the conversation for both of them, and it's interesting convincing that, you know, that the team's success throughout the first 15 games of the season to put them at 14-2, you know, could potentially sewer the chances he has at those. And, you know, I definitely think he'll take that. He wouldn't have it any other way. But, you know, it's one of those interesting storylines that, you know, had the Stamps been sitting at, you know, 11-5 or something at this point in the season, you know, John Cornish would likely be playing and probably have, you know, probably be the front runner for the MOP if, you know, he's putting up the types of numbers. Type of numbers that he is. So it's really interesting. And, you know, John Cornish is an interesting guy, and, you know, I think he'll be in the conversation for the MOP and the rushing title, you know, by the time week 20 rolls around.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, like, how much should he be in the MOP conversation right now, knowing that he has missed all that time, and yet here he is, you know, still with an opportunity to win a rushing title in just the pure definition of the title. That's pretty outstanding, isn't it?
It's unbelievable. I mean, and I've said it a couple times this year. I mean, you know, when John Cornish last year suits up in 17 games and does what he does, you kind of maybe take it for granted. And then this year you see him come in and you know, play and then miss six weeks and then come back and like he hadn't missed a beat. So, you know, I think if I'm a Stampeders fan, the one thing that I'm you know, feeling good about is, you know, John Cornish has proven he can take as much time off as pretty much he wants and come back and you know, be the John Cornish that everyone expects him to be. So, you know, even if he sits out, you know, if they didn't play him till November 23rd, I have no doubt that he would walk into that lineup, you know, in the West Final and you know, be the same John Cornish, you know, 7-8 yards a carry that, you know, we're all used to.
Scotty, you're a good man. As always, appreciate this. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, take care, Pat.
He is Scott Mitchell. He is our Stampeders insider from the Calgary Sun, joining us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Friday is game day for the Stampeders. They'll take on the Saskatchewan Roughriders, and that is the game between these two teams at McMahon Stadium. The news from today, no John Cornish. He's going to sit out. He's sore, and that's the reason he won't play against the Riders. Again, it's all maintenance to make sure that he's at optimal for when the games matter the absolute most, and the game that matters the absolute most isn't until next month, when they host the West Division Final. That's the game that matters. And if holding him out against the Riders and maybe another game down the stretch too is going to make sure that he's in better shape for when they need to win a football game and when it really matters, then I think as a Stampeders fan, you can be all for that. Still, it's going to be fun watching the Stamps and Riders play. I think for Saskatchewan, they're going to be the team with all the urgency. And for Saskatchewan, they're the team who needs to win. But even without a full roster, the Stampeders would love to play spoiler and continue their assault on a top spot in the West Division, and they've already clinched it, but just how many games above 500 can they be before the season comes to an end? Looking forward to Friday's game at McMahon Stadium. Pat Steinberg along with you as the Big Show continues. Hey, Rogers Hometown Hockey is coming to Alberta next month, the beginning of next month, in fact. We're going to be live in Red Deer because that's where it's going to be. November 1st and 2nd is the weekend. The game is on the 2nd between the Calgary Flames and the Montreal Canadiens on the Sunday night, and because it's happening so close to home and so close to Calgary, we're going to head 90 minutes up Highway 2, hang out in Central Alberta, and bring you all the festivities from Hometown Hockey. You can bring the whole family, enjoy outdoor viewing parties of NHL games, meet and greets with NHL alumni, local bands, hockey-themed games in the kids' zone, and more. For more details, hometownhockey.com. It's November 1st and 2nd in Red Deer, and we'll be all a part of it at Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Next up, we go around the NHL. You're locked on the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960.
The Big Show, brought to you by The Comedy Cave. Tired of the same old office Christmas party? Liven things up and book your holiday event at The Comedy Cave.
NHL, CFL, NFL, MLB, NLL, WHL, and lots more letters. We cover them all. Sportsnet 960, the FAN.
Thermostats. Not exactly the most riveting of topics. But did you know your thermostat controls half of your energy bill? Clunky old thermostats waste huge amounts of energy, and programmable thermostats are about as easy to figure out as your kid's high school trigonometry homework. That's why we made the Nest Learning Thermostat. It's easy to install and even easier to use. Just turn it up and turn it down. Within a week, Nest learns your schedule. No programming necessary. Nest will turn itself down when no one's home so that it doesn't heat or cool an empty house. Then adjust the temperature so everything's perfect when you walk in the door. It even connects to your smartphone so you can change the temperature remotely. Teach the Nest thermostat your schedule and it can save you about 20% on your heating and cooling bill. On average, that's about $170 a year. And you don't need to be a trigonometry expert to realize that can really add up. Take control of your energy use and start saving money today. Get a Nest thermostat at Nest.com and start saving energy automatically. Nest, welcome to a more thoughtful home.
Put your heat to better use with an Arctic Spa from Paradise Bay. Arctic Spa's free heat system is all about using the heat your tub creates to heat the water and not the great outdoors. Whether it's extra insulation or using the heat from the pump to warm the tub, the free heat system will save you money. Arctic Spas, built in Alberta, sold at Paradise Bay, now open in their new location on 12th Street Southeast, just two doors down from Trail Appliances. Visit GoParadiseBay.com.
Neighbors Drilling Canada reminds us that work sites don't have to be dangerous. Young, inexperienced workers are at the highest risk of injury during their first 6 months on the job. By following safety precautions such as wearing proper attire, watching for danger areas, and paying attention to the task at hand, workers can help reduce the number of needless accidents that occur on job sites each year. A message for International Day of Mourning for Neighbors Drilling Canada and its divisions, where job safety is fundamental in achieving success.
At Chevrolet, we believe it's important to find the good in goodbye. That's why we're having a farewell celebration for all our 2014 vehicles at Chevrolet's Canada-wide clearance event. Until October 31st, all 2014 vehicles are priced to go. That means 0% financing for 84 months on select models, including Silverado, Cruze, Equinox, and Camaro, but only while quantities last. So don't wait. Say goodbye to your old vehicle and hello to your new Chevrolet. Offer ends October 31st. Visit AlbertaChevrolet.com for details.
Despite years of promises, the PCs haven't built the new schools Calgary desperately needs. Too many of our children are still in overcrowded classrooms. Wild Rose will invest $2 billion over 4 years for new school construction, school modernizations, and long overdue school maintenance. Send the PCs a message. It's time to build schools, not just put up signs. On October 27th, vote Wild Rose.
Authorized by Wild Rose. 1-888-262-1888.
It's A to Z Windows and Doors here again, working with Milgard Essence Series Wood Windows. A to Z understands life happens. Whether you break it or our crazy Alberta weather gives it a beating, Milgard Essence Wood Windows have a true full lifetime warranty on product, hardware, glass breakage, and manufactured labored warranty for as long as you own your home. Call for your free quote, 403-257-DOOR, or visit atwozwindows.ca.
Today's Secret Seat brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Watch every CFL and NFL game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Your secret seat is A35. A35.
Proud home for the Flames and Hitmen.
Calgary's hockey station. Sportsnet 960. The Fan.
It's the fastest game on earth around the NHL right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
It's a off day for the Calgary Flames as we welcome you back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Josh Humphreys back at Sportsnet 960 World Control. We've got some NHL talk to get to. Lots happening around the league. But first of all, we'll start with the situation in Ottawa and how it's affecting the NHL landscape.
The Ottawa Senators.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and with what's happening in our nation's capital today, the game between the Ottawa Senators and Toronto Maple Leafs at the Scotiabank Center has been postponed. The NHL made the announcement after talking with authorities and both teams involved. Sens head coach Paul McLean commented on the events today we saw in Ottawa and how, you know what, the game itself, not the big story.
It's close to home, so that's obviously a tragic event that we don't have all the details on, and we're just waiting on it like everybody else, and all we can do is at this point make sure that our loved ones are taken care of and our thoughts and prayers are with the people that are involved. This is a significant event, so I think it has some merit to it, and we have to everyone's going to think a little bit deeper about things and
right now the league hasn't announced a makeup date for this game, and they don't have to. There's no real urgency in announcing when the game is going to be made up. But I don't think there's any question that this was the right call, because from all that we're hearing right now, there's still imminent danger in Ottawa. And when you're in a scenario like that, and there's been something already tragic that's taken place, I mean, for the NHL to cancel a game like this for safety and just for the overall gravity of what's going on right now, I think they've made absolutely the right call. And right now, Josh, hockey is not the number one thing. And you know, here we are 2,000 kilometers away from Ottawa, and it's still hitting pretty close to home for us. So this is something that you totally understand why the NHL has decided to postpone this game.
Absolutely. They made the right call. I know there's people out there that say this is what these guys that, you know, did this, what they wanted to accomplish. They wanted to put the fear in us by doing something like this. But to me, you do the right thing. You got to keep everybody safe. You just never know what's going to happen. You never know anything else that could stem from this event. So not make a public gathering like this on the same day and putting a lot of people at risk, I think, is the right move. This day and age, with all the technology we have and things like that, it's not that hard for Toronto and Ottawa to make a makeup game, and for the Leafs to fly over to Ottawa and for a quick game as well. It's not that far of a situation that they can do it, you know, pretty much any other time during the regular season. So definitely agree with the NHL making the right move today and making the safe choice.
Yeah, and you know, there's absolutely a time and a place for sports being a distraction, absolutely a time and a place for sports to take your mind off the real world, but not in the city where the danger is most imminent, not when the danger hasn't even been totally resolved at this point. And again, I just wanted to we're doing this program, and we'll do the next, you know, 4.5 hours with the knowledge that there's something far greater than us going on outside of the city, outside of sports. There's people's lives who have been affected. We've lost a real live hero today who has protected our nation and all that type of stuff. It's a hard day for Canada, and thoughts and prayers go out to those affected in Ottawa. We'll continue to provide you that escape and provide you kind of the distraction from the real world, no doubt about it. And obviously 660 News is the place you want to tune in for all your information about this stuff as it happens. That's what's going on in our nation's capital.
The Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, it's a scary situation for Nathan Horton of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Of course, he had been diagnosed with that degenerative back issue earlier in the preseason with his spine. But now there's reports coming that his career, Pat, could be in jeopardy. That, according to the Columbus Dispatch, he has yet to play a game this season, was limited to just 35 last year. He did not play in the playoffs at all for the Columbus Blue Jackets against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And reporter Aaron Portsline, citing sources who said surgery has not been scheduled or ruled out, but it is viewed as a last resort, the degeneration of the entire lumbar region of his spine right now for Nathan Horton. Not a good situation for him or the Columbus Blue Jackets, who signed him to that long-term contract, hoping he could be one of those guys that can help turn that franchise around, which I guess in small parts he was last year, helping the Columbus Blue Jackets, but they really miss him on the ice.
Well, that is just so scary. Like, when you're talking about spine degeneration, and from how I understand it, if they end up going through with the surgery, and if that is deemed to be the appropriate road to go down, you know, that could end up, and very likely will end up ending his career. Like, this is a very, very scary time for Nathan Horton, and I feel really bad for him, because you probably feel extremely helpless right now. There's not a whole lot you can do about the situation, and you have to make sure that, you know, you're doing the right things for your body and beyond hockey. As much as you want to keep on playing, you know, you may not have a choice here. So this is a really, really scary situation, and I can't even imagine kind of the limbo that Nathan Horton finds himself in right now. And that's got to be keeping him up at night. It's got to be turning knots in his stomach. It's a pretty scary time right now. If you're, and remember, he's 30 years old. Like, we're talking about a young guy, and we might be talking about, you know, his livelihood being taken away from him for something that he really can't control at this point. The only thing that he can control is whether or not he keeps on playing hockey, and it's too bad that, you know, he might not be able to do that. So So I really hope that that isn't the case with Nathan Horton, but more than anything else, you just want to make sure that he's able to live the right type of life after hockey.
Yeah.
And if it means that hockey needs to be taken away from him earlier than he would have liked, I guess that's the way you got to go, because you got to make sure he is taken care of, first of all.
Yeah, it's a good, it's a tough situation for the Columbus Blue Jackets. They could definitely use him on the ice, but for, like you mentioned there, for Nathan Horton, got to get your own health looked after first so you can enjoy your life after hockey. And a tough, scary situation, unfortunate for a guy, Nathan Horton, who is a very talented hockey player. But that is what's going on with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
The Pittsburgh Penguins. The Philadelphia Flyers.
Tonight, the first time, sorry, I forgot for the second team there. Tonight, the first time we see the Battle of Pennsylvania this season, the Penguins to host the Flyers, and for Sidney Crosby, games against the Flyers, they're easy to get up for.
Pretty motivated, I think, regardless if they won five in a row or lost last night. I think these games bring out the best in both teams, and I would expect their best tonight. I mean, you get excited for these ones, a little more emotion, great atmosphere, so yeah, definitely fun to play these ones.
Sidney Crosby does not like the Philadelphia Flyers.
No, he does not.
The Philadelphia Flyers do not like Sidney Crosby. It is one of the more entertaining rivalries that's out there in the NHL right now. I think there's three or four really, really good rivalries that are burning pretty hot these days, and I think this is one of them. And, you know, it's too bad that Philadelphia is not off to a great start this season, but yeah, he does not like the Philadelphia Flyers. Seems like every time those two teams mm-hmm. play, he's involved in all kinds of chirping battles, and he's getting involved in the after-the-whistle stuff and all that type of thing. I'm looking forward to this one tonight.
Yeah, it should be a good one for both these teams. I mean, the Flyers, they definitely need a win to bounce back, but the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're coming off. They handed the New York Islanders their first win. I guess the Islanders have lost a couple now because they lost to the Leafs yesterday, but that was the first time the Islanders were beaten all season. Penguins beat them last Saturday. They're off for a little bit of time here. They've got a break. Did you see the new third jerseys of the Penguins are going to debut for the first time tonight? They're going the old school, early 90s style jerseys tonight. So a lot of excitement right now at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Crosby himself has been off to a great start this season. And like you said, he gets up for these games. He plays kind of an unlike Crosby game. He gets involved in the scrums. He plays more of a physical game. It seems like the Flyers have a way to get under his skin, but it seems to bring out even a better version of Sidney Crosby sometimes because he gets involved so much into these games.
Now, the Flyers, on the other hand, not off to the greatest start to the season, and they were shut out last night in Chicago. Captain Claude Giroux and the Flyers not happy with their performance.
We had a lot of good chances offensively. First period, I think we got embarrassed how we played. We didn't, we didn't win one battle. We got to do a better job in front of Mason, and I think second and third we start playing a little bit better, but I mean, we're playing good and we're doing too many mistakes out there that costs us, so can't really control what we did tonight. We got to do a better job of playing as a team, and we should know before the game what to do, and we didn't really follow the game plan, and it cost us.
Philadelphia 1-3-2 to start the season, Josh. This mm-hmm. is not the type of year I think a lot of people expected the Flyers to get out to. It's very early. They've only played six games, and there's still plenty that they can salvage, but it's not been a very strong start in Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It has not been a strong start, and it was the same last year. It cost Peter Laviolette his job. With the Flyers,
that's right.
Greg
it did.
Berube had to take over, and then that's when things kind of shook up for the Flyers. I wouldn't expect another coaching change to come or something like that would have to happen again to make the Philadelphia Flyers wake up a little bit. They do have a lot of talent on that team. I thought this team would be a team that would take another step forward. To me, they finally have a goaltender in Steve Mason who has been reliable. He was reliable for them last year for the most part throughout the season. They added R.J. Umberger. They lost Scott Hartnell, but got R.J. Umberger in there this year as well. So I thought maybe the Flyers would be a team, especially with a guy like Claude Giroux, had such a great finish to the year last year. Remember, he was snubbed off the Olympic roster. It seemed to motivate him.
Right.
Got himself into the finalists for the Hart Trophy last season as well. So he really turned things on last season, but he has seemed to kind of struggle out of the gate as much as most of the guys in the Philadelphia Flyers have. But again, they're a team I don't really worry about too much because it is still early in the season. I think the Philadelphia Flyers at the end of the day will be fine and should be a playoff team.
I think they're still a pretty decent team. I don't know if I'm as sold on goaltending, though. Like, I don't know if I'm to the point where I'm like, finally, they've got a goaltender. Yes, Steve Mason was decent for him last year and was able to give him some pretty decent minutes. But, you know, it's still, that's Steve Mason. He won the Calder Trophy, remember. He was setting all kind, not records, but he was setting some pretty big precedents, remember, in that year for shutouts and all that type of stuff. So I'm not quite as comfortable with Philadelphia in net, and this is a very important show-me season for Steve Mason in that, yeah. Okay, you played well last year, what can you do this year? So there's still some question marks for me when it comes to Philadelphia in net.
Yeah, I mean, it's an upgrade of what they've had in years past, I believe, though. I mean, he's got him into the playoffs last year. It wasn't the Ilya Brzgalov where he's letting those soft goals in, and it was kind of just a sideshow the whole season. So I thought they improved in that regard. In net, but still there is some improvements that this team does need to make. But at the end of the day, I think they just have too much talent up front. Just guys like Claude Giroux, I think he's a world-class player.
Probably.
Yeah, he's a world-class player, I think, who could really help the Philadelphia Flyers and turn them in to a pretty good team. But they're going to have their hands full tonight. The Penguins and the Flyers, Battle of Pennsylvania tonight. It's going to be a good one.
And we continue with our last stop on Around the NHL.
The Washington Capitals, the Edmonton Oilers.
Well, the Flames opponents on Saturday night are in action tonight up the QE2 in Edmonton, taking on the Oilers. Head coach Dallas Eakins today asked about some of the individual performances of some of his players this season, but right away, Eakins quick to say he does not care about the individual performances right now. He's more focused on a team game.
No, my thought going in the game is to win the hockey game. Yeah, this is about our team. I know there's a lot of chatter out there about individuals' ice time. This is about our team, the team, every time. That's, you guys can talk about guys' ice times. We've got guys that are improved this year and playing less. We've got guys that are improved and playing more. There's situational things that happen on the ice. You guys can read whatever you want into it. This is, I'm not talking about a guy's individual ice times. I'll talk to you about our team.
Despite getting their first win, Pat, the other day against the Tampa Bay Lightning of the season, I still think there's some severe panic going on in Edmonton right now. And I think a game like tonight, almost again like a must win to really try to salvage something and get that fan base something to be excited about. And they're going to have their hands full with the Washington Capitals.
I still think that, you know, this season can be salvageable for Edmonton, but they've got to make some pretty tough decisions. And I think that those decisions, we've talked about them. One of them was on Three Burning Questions yesterday. I think that a core player being moved is extremely important. And I think that, you know, making a coaching change is extremely important. But yet, I don't think either of those things are imminent in Edmonton. And I think that they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot by not doing that. So, yeah, I worry a little bit. I don't worry. Is the wrong word. I think that Edmonton is still on a bad path right now, and if they can make some key changes, they can put themselves in a better path, on a better path. But we'll wait and see to see if they end up doing those things. Still a tough matchup for them. They've got the high flying Washington Capitals in town tonight.
Yeah, and that is what's going on with the Oilers and the Capitals, and your look around the NHL.
This is the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Hey, Sportsnet 960 The Fan and CIR Realty are teaming up to salute local minor hockey heroes in the community. This is pretty cool. Do you know someone who is a champion in the hockey community, maybe goes above and beyond for the kids in their team, whether it be getting to the rink early, whether it be whatever it might be, planning things, whatever you look at and say, man, that guy really does, or that gal really does go above and beyond. Nominate them now and have them recognize for what they're doing, and help us celebrate one deserving volunteer from each hockey association in Calgary as a minor hockey hero. Submit your nomination now at sportsnet.ca/960. This is a pretty cool thing we're doing right now. So if you've got a kid in minor hockey, you've got kids in minor hockey, and there's somebody that really goes above and beyond, another parent, a volunteer on the team, whatever it may be, nominate them. sportsnet.ca/960. Let's recognize them as a minor hockey hero. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is the Big Show. Hour number one wraps up with Three Burning Questions around the corner on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan, home for the Flames, Hitmen, Blue Jays, and more. Get your play-by-play right here. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is Calgary Flames Radio. When your Flames hit the road, so does the Flames Radio crew. Shank Sports Grill is our home away from the dome. Join Pat Steinberg for every road game at Shank's and Crowfoot Circle. You know Shank's, the best hockey atmosphere in the city. All those big screens, every seat is a great seat. Flames fans, your home away from the dome for the Calgary Flames is Shank Sports Grill. Crowfoot in the northwest and McLeod Trail south. The home of the Flames and NHL is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
From now until November 10th, swipe your Esso Extra card on eligible purchases at Esso stations. You'll be entered for a chance to win a trip for four to the World Junior Hockey Championship in Toronto. Oh, ho! Winners get tickets to the gold and bronze medal games, plus hotel and spending money! Visit your nearest Esso station today and swipe your Esso Extra card for a chance to win the hockey trip of a lifetime. For complete contest rules, visit soextra.com/contest. No purchase entry available. Prize value estimated $10,500.
Wednesday on FX Canada. The Freak Show begins when American Horror Story welcomes you to the greatest show on earth. A bearded lady and a twisted clown killer joins Jessica Lange as the ringleader of a grotesque and bizarre freak show. It's your darkest nightmares under the big top. American Horror Story, Freak Show, Wednesday at 8 on FX Canada. Call your TV service provider to order.
Okay, Dodge Grand Caravan?
Grand Caravan, $20,998, clear them all out.
What about Dodge Journey?
$19,998, clear them all out.
Ram 1500?
Let me see, the 2015s are coming, so clear them all out. $27,498.
Every vehicle is clearing out at the All Out Clear Out. On now at your Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, and Ram dealer. But they're clearing out fast, so get to your dealer today.
It takes a community to raise a great family. It takes a great builder to help raise a community. Shane Homes is committed to building the finest crafted homes throughout Calgary and Airdrie and giving back to the communities in which they live, build, work, and raise their families. Charitable endeavors are a cornerstone of their business, and they believe in giving back by supporting organizations that help change people's lives for the better. Good people come from strong communities, shaped by great builders. Visit ShaneHomes.com.
Shank's Sports Grill is more than just big screens and big games. Shank's is your everyday gathering place for great times. Whether it's a company team building event or a personal occasion, Shank's expert event planners will take care of all the details from start to finish. All you have to do is set the date, arrive with your coworkers or friends, and bring your enthusiasm for fun. Book your event today. Shank's North, 103 Crowfoot Terrace, and Shank's South, 9627 McLeod Trail.
Nissan is the fastest growing automotive brand in Canada. And now is your best chance to catch one. Get amazing clear out deals like 0% financing on the fuel efficient Sentra and big cash discounts on Pathfinder and Altima, up to $13,000 on select Titan models. But you better act fast. These Nissans aren't standing still. The 2014 Nissan Clear Out. See your local Western retailer or choose Nissan.ca.
Alberta's fast-growing economy needs power. In fact, over the next 10 years, Alberta will need $10 to $15 billion invested in new power generation. It's a tall order, but TransAlta has been building the power you need since 1911. You can count on our people to help ensure a secure, reliable power supply for the decades ahead. Learn how TransAlta is leading the way forward at poweron.transalta.ca.
Hi, I'm Pete the Plumber. Always delivering great plumbing service 24/7 in this fantastic city of ours. Now's the time to get your furnace checked, because we know old man winter's around the corner. Be prepared, because he's not stopping. Remember last winter and all the snow? We now have Pete the Electrician for all your residential electrical service needs. Give us a call. We'll be there for you.
If it's on the 200 by 85, it's right here first. Calgary's home for the National Hockey League. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The questions you're asking, the answers you're craving. It's three burning questions on The Big Show, only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
is Pat Steinberg here at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Josh Humphreys back at Sportsnet 960 World Control about 14 blocks away. And Josh has got our three burning questions for this Wednesday afternoon. Joshua, what's question number one?
Well, start with the goaltending situation. You talked to it with Lou a little bit on Hockey Central, but my question for you, they're going with the rotating situation right now, and it's working out well for the Flames with going with Hiller and then Rommel, regardless of the result of what happens the game before. But is there, in your eyes, any sort of a scenario where a goaltender can earn himself back-to-back starts for the Flames?
I think the way Lou phrased it is kind of the way that I'm, the wavelength that I'm on too, and that is if somebody is playing so well and they're being the reason for winning games, and maybe a game or two, a goaltender's the reason that the Flames lose a game, maybe that's the scenario that it happens in. Otherwise, right now, I don't think there's a whole lot of compelling arguments that tell me that you should go away from alternating these guys. I think that they're playing too well, they're too close together. There's so little separation. I don't really know why you would, at this point, get away from one. Now, if that's why you wait for that separation to happen. That's why you wait for maybe a stretch where there's somebody, one of the goaltenders doesn't play as well and maybe has a rough night and it's a 3-2 loss because of a bad goal or something like that. I don't know. But right now, I don't see that happening anytime soon. I think we're a ways away from that. And I don't think we need it to happen anytime soon. So that's really the scenario that I see playing out when it does end up happening. But I don't think it's imminent right now.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, as you, like you mentioned there, right now it's not hurting the team at all. Both goaltenders are playing well. Both goaltenders are earning their ice time with the team as well. So no need to change it right now. Moving on to some question number two. For the Calgary Stampeders, we find out today that John Cornish will once again sit out this Friday against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, knee kind of acting up, bothering him a little bit. Any concern at all for this? I mean, he comes back from his injury, plays a couple games, sits out, comes back again, gets a little banged up in Saskatchewan. Here we are again now after another big game on the weekend in Winnipeg that he's going to be forced to sit out again. Is there any concern at all?
Not really for me. I mean, I think it's a maintenance thing, and I think right now everything the Stampeders should be doing should be focusing on how to get this team to optimal come the West Final. When kickoff happens in November at McMahon Stadium for that playoff game, I think that the Stampeders have got to do everything in their power to make sure they have got the optimal best roster for that game. And so if that means sitting out John Cornish in a meaningless game against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, then all the power to you. And if that means not putting Cornish at risk of re-injury, not putting Cornish at risk of putting himself in danger or something like that, then so be it. And if they have to sit him out another game in the final three, then my opinion remains the same. Oh, well, maybe Cornish doesn't win the rushing title. I think every single person across this league knows that if Cornish played a full season, he would have ran away with this rushing title once again. He might be touching on the same type of totals he had last year when he was the runaway most outstanding player and most outstanding Canadian. So, yeah, you know what? There's really no reason to force anybody into action or push anybody into action or have somebody going when they're not at 100%. If you're not at 100%, sit out and get yourself back to optimal. There's no point in doing anything else right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for getting the guys healthy for the West Final because that's the only game that matters. But to me, it just a little bit, especially now with this latest sitting out, just a little bit of concern is starting to creep into my mind with John Cornish. I wonder just his style, if it's starting to catch up with him this season, because he's not a guy that's going to make moves to avoid contact. He's a guy that goes right through guys, puts his head down or drops a shoulder and tries to go through them rather than trying to, avoid them and go around them. So it did start to raise just a little bit of a concern for me. But hopefully, we take them at their word. It's something minor. Sit out whatever you have to. Be 100% healthy for the West Final. That's the main concern. But it does raise just a little bit of concern.
Remember, one of the injuries was a concussion. So that to me is, it's football. It's a high impact contact sport and all that type of stuff. But for a guy who's never really had a concussion before, I'm not really worried about John Cornish being concussed. And then what's gone on here with these injuries? I mean, from all accounts, he could play if he needed to play. But again, there's no need to play a guy when he's not 100% in this scenario right now. If the Stamps are fighting for a division title, if the Stamps are in a playoff fight right now, then I think Korna should be playing, no question about it.
Yeah, exactly, exactly right. I mean, that's the man you mentioned it. The main thing is have him ready to go for the West Final. Final question right. Today, we'll go off into some baseball. The Kansas City Royals, they take it on the chin 7-1 to the San Francisco Giants yesterday. Pat, can Kansas City make a series out of this, or is this one San Francisco Giants are just too much to handle right now for Kansas City?
Well, I don't know yet, because I want to see what happens tonight in Game 2. I want to see how how Kansas City deals with their first loss of the postseason. This is the first time they've run into any series adversity, and I want to see how they're able to handle it. Do they bounce back with a much closer game tonight? Do they bounce back with a much more competitive effort? Or is San Francisco in their hands? I'll tell you what, that was what I was afraid of in Game 1, a Giants team who just looked like they'd been there before, who didn't really have... There were no nerves, there was no the stage getting to them or anything like that. It was just another game for the Giants, and they took control of that game early and never relinquished it. So I was afraid of that. I thought there was a chance that might happen. And now that they have suffered their first loss of the postseason, it's all about the response. If they don't have a proper response tonight, I think this thing's done quick. If they're able to respond in a pretty impressive fashion, even if they don't win the football game, if they can be a whole lot more competitive and make this a real game too, then I think that we've still got an opportunity for a series.
Yeah, that San Francisco rotation is just way too good. I mean, Jake Peavy coming in there tonight.
It's scary, man.
It's very scary, and you're likely going to have to, even if you win a game, you're going to have to get Madison Baumgartner again.